The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable: "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The Gospel of the Lord. Seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them," grumbled the scribes and the Pharisees. The religious elite's protest is understandable. There was nothing quite like the scum of the earth traitor tax collector. Working for the Romans, these tax collectors were Jews collecting taxes from their fellow Jews, and they weren't fair about it either. Extortion was the name of the game. The amount of tax owed was based on the tax collector's discretion, thereby forcing people to pay whatever the man in the booth deemed necessary. Then, after giving Rome what was demanded by the emperor, the tax collector, well, he would pocket the rest. Don't like it? Take it up with a big Roman soldier standing right there beside the tax booth, sharpening his blade. And it was people like this that Jesus welcomed, to say nothing of all the other sinners at lunch that day. We can only imagine what manner of debauchery they brought to the table. God's law demands separation from such unholy ones. These are not the people you want to be around. Yet Jesus was right there in the middle of them, preaching and stuffing his face. It's no wonder the legal beagles howled. Their entire life was about separating themselves from those deemed unholy and sinful by God's law. Yet, here Jesus was, preaching with literal divine authority, doing the exact opposite. And it only got worse for the Pharisees and the scribes when Jesus started telling stories about lost sheep and lost coins. How unlawful is it for a shepherd to put the lives of 99 of his sheep in danger just so he could go looking for one mangy stray who could not and would not get with the program? How much sense does it make for a woman to tear her house apart looking for one coin when 9 are still in her pocket? What a strange economy Jesus is describing here as he tells us who God seeks. It makes no sense. Jesus is telling us that those whom God seeks are not the ones looking for him. And don't think that the lost one's repentance is the reason for God's seeking. God doesn't seek them because they got their act together and repented. No, repentance is always after the fact. God went after them, therefore they were repented. That is, left with no choice but to confess God is God and whatever he wants to do to me is right. And Jesus' words are not fair either. Working hard to be holy and good are not reasons for God to seek a person out. And so taken together, Jesus' parables here are downright offensive. What are we to make of his words? First, mercy is more important than God's law. Second, God clearly has no taste in friends. Thanks be to God. You see, the Apostle Paul tells us that no one is righteous. From the most successful law keeper to the vilest of offender, everybody is unrighteous. Our sin is manifest, and how it's manifest is simply a matter of taste. Even worse, we are all children of Adam and Eve, and therefore guilty of their original sin. God's wrath is upon us at our conception, long before our hearts and our hands transgress his law. And that means there is nothing, absolutely nothing, we can do or avoid doing to make ourselves right with God. We were judged before we even drew our first breath. And so you see, Jesus's parables aren't really about us, because both the moral and the immoral are in the same boat with no recourse. Instead, his parables are about the reckless seeking of God for those whom he's chosen. Jesus's parables tell us that God becomes myopic and forgets everything around him when he's seeking his chosen ones. Consequences and sensibleness and fairness, all of that doesn't matter. Not even the humiliation of birth in a stable, a murderous death on a cross, and the silence of a tomb, none of that slowed him down. 3 days later, he was still giving his peace and mercy to those still not seeking him. And do you know where all this ends? It ends right here, and right now, in your ear. You are the one God seeks. You are the sinner God welcomes. You are the mangy stray God left all to find. You are the lost coin God has torn the world apart to find you. And that's why I say to you that you are forgiven without condition by the Father for Christ's sake. Heaven is rejoicing, child of God, because Jesus Christ has found you. Amen.